Well, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And I want to share a message going along with our theme with our choir singing this morning, Preach the Word. I want to preach a message entitled Understanding Preaching. And Luke chapter 8. While you're opening your Bibles up there, just a reminder, remember Vacation Bible School will be July the 12th through the 16th. And this summer, and if you can help out, you'd like to be a part of that ministry and ministry opportunity, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer on the counter out there, and you can get signed up for that. And also, just to make a note of this, we'll be putting more information out in the next week or so. Our couples retreat for our church will be October the 1st and 2nd, and so we have already planned, we got things in the works for dinner cruise on the River Lady and all that, and so you want to put those dates on your calendar. They'll plan on being here for our couples retreat, and we'll be putting that information out for you a little bit later on. Understanding preaching, Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it out. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. Now, help us to gain some understanding and comprehension, Lord, about this ability to be able to share our faith with others and proclaiming the good news that Jesus saves. And Lord, that message made a difference in our lives. That message brought us to faith in Christ. And may we realize that the world may be changing, but the power of God and the message from God does not change, and it can still impact people's lives. And so, Lord, give us an understanding heart today on this matter of preaching. Certainly, we would pray if there's anyone with us that's not sure they're saved, that they might understand the good news that comes through the proclamation of the Word of God, and that they might believe on Christ to the saving of their soul. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Understanding preaching. Certainly Jesus, out of this opportunity, with the crowds being there and his disciples being there, gives this great parable of the sower. And oftentimes we are discouraged about proclaiming the gospel because not everybody we witness to gets saved. Matter of fact, some people get pretty angry and pretty aggressive with that. But that's the reality of the sower going forth to sow. And some of the seed's going to fall by the wayside. Some of it's going to be choked out by the world. Some of it is going to fall on good ground and be able to spring forth and bring forth abundant life. And certainly, you're a testimony of that. You're here this morning. You've been saved. The seed of the gospel fell on good ground and sprang up and brought everlasting life in your heart. Now, if you've heard the gospel and you've rejected it, then you're the stony ground. And you need to let the word of God break up the stony ground of your heart and loosen things up so that you'd be ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So Jesus, it says, afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Notice the focus of the ministry of Christ. In verse 1, the focus was there was outreach. It says he went throughout every city and village. And when we think about preaching, we think about preaching. I'm not just talking about preaching as far as the preacher in the pulpit, although that's necessary, and God uses that in a powerful way. But every one of us have good news to proclaim. We are all preachers of Christ. We're to share the good news with others. And the focus of the ministry of Christ was one of outreach. He went into every city and every village. And that means that we need to go to every house, every neighborhood, every opportunity that we have. We need to be sharing the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And so we have outreach. Then notice the message in verse 1. Says preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world do not have much to offer, and we're watching them crumble and fall apart. We're watching human society literally destroy itself. But the message of God is really glad tidings concerning his kingdom. And his kingdom is not of this world, and certainly when we trust Christ as our Savior, we become a part of the kingdom of God, and we need to tell people there is something better than what you're watching on the news every day. And that something better is new life that we have through faith in Christ to be a part of a kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom. So his focus was outreach. His focus had a message, but it's also his focus had discipleship. Because in verse 1 it says, and the 12 were with him. And we know Jesus called them. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Everywhere Jesus went, the disciples went with him. Why? They were being grounded in the faith. They were being taught the word of God. They were being showed forth the principles by which we're supposed to live as a Christian and the power of God that is able to work in each and every of our lives. And so when you think about preaching, you need to understand it needs to engulf those three concepts. Whether it's on a personal basis, you talking to someone, or whether it's in a collective basis as far as the preacher standing up and preaching, our focus needs to be outreach with a message that comes from God for the sole intention of discipling people, developing them in their Christian walk. You know, the word preach means to proclaim or to herald or to shout out. And there's times for shouting out the message. There's times for sharing the message. There's times for weeping over the message. There's always an opportunity to be able to give the good news of the message. So the word preach means to proclaim or to herald or to shout out. The word preached is used 58 times in the Bible. The interesting thing is that literally the word preached is only used one time in the Old Testament. And that was used in Psalm 40 in verse 9. Says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. And so I just thought it was interesting. The one time the word preached is used in the Old Testament, it is in reference to preaching righteousness. And so we have a righteous message to deliver to people and hope that can change their lives. The word preach, just preach, if you look that up in the scriptures, you'll find that is used 47 times in the scriptures. However, only 3 times in the Old Testament. Notice the first time that is used is in Nehemiah chapter 6. In verse 7, it says, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. And so God appointed prophets for this expressed purpose of preaching that he was the king of all, that he was the king that they were looking for. And so we have, once again, that acknowledging the fact, the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. In Isaiah 61 and 1 is where the word preach is used again. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound. And so this matter of preaching is to bring good tidings of good news that, wait a minute, God can set us free from whatever bondage we are in. So you have the word preached, you have the word preach, then you have the word preaching that is used 27 times. One time in the Old Testament, Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2 says, arise, go unto Nineveh, at great city, and preach. That's the third time that preach is used. And then it says, and unto it the preaching that I bid thee. That's the only time the word preaching is used in the Old Testament. And it's in reference to Jonah going and proclaiming that God wants to bring revival in Nineveh. The interesting thing we know, and we're going to mention this a little bit later on in the message, but the interesting thing is to know that Jonah argued with God about that. He didn't want to go preach at Nineveh. And oftentimes we argue with God. I've had people over the years say, well, I can't be a witness. I can't tell people about Jesus Christ. I don't have the gift of gab. Well, yeah, sure you do. Yeah, but when there's somebody, something going on but in somebody's life, you're ready to talk about that. Now, why can't we just talk about Jesus Christ? Why can't we share the good news that Jesus is alive? We have a message to share with people. And yes, Jonah looked at the wickedness of the Ninevites, and he despised their lifestyle. He despised everything about what they were doing. And we can look at the world we're living in and despise the immoral conduct of what our world is that we're living in, but God still sent his son in the world to die for those sinners. And we have a message to proclaim to them. You know, preaching is the central focus of the great gospel, the great commission that Jesus Christ gave. Preaching is the center focus of the great commission. Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus did not tell his disciples to go into the world and establish social programs. He did not tell them to go into all the world and become a strong politician. He did tell them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the focus, that is the resolve, that is the commitment of every Christian, and certainly of the Christian church, is to proclaim that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That is the primary function of the church, is to proclaim that good news. And that certainly ought to be the primary focus of every believer, because of the fact that you were lost, you're on your way to hell, and every person you come in contact with that is not saved is in that condition. And God has delivered your soul so that you can have the opportunity to tell someone else about who Jesus Christ is. So understanding preaching. I want to think of three things this morning in reference to understanding it. We need to consider the anointing of preaching. It is God who puts his stamp of approval on preaching. It is God who gives us the power to preach. It is God that has established a means by which people will be saved, is somebody telling them how to be saved. And so the anointing of preaching. Now I put these verses in order so you could follow along. I want you to look in your Bible this morning. Matthew chapter 3, and we'll just kind of work along and then we'll start over again. Amen. And Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1, we see the anointing of preaching in that it was practiced by John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we see the practice of John the Baptist. You know, Jesus said of John that those that are born of woman, there was none greater than John the Baptist. But we see the priority of his life and the focus of his life was the anointing of God upon him to preach the kingdom of God that was coming. And so he practiced this matter of preaching. These are great examples for us to follow in reference to Jesus Christ's challenge to us in preaching. So I see it was practiced by John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, I see that this matter of the anointed preaching ignited the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, we know that Jesus is in the temple and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And in Luke chapter 4 in verse 16, it says, and he came, to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Three times he mentions to preach, to preach, to preach. Then in verse 20 he says, he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The ignition, the starting, the challenge of the ministry of Jesus Christ began out of a response of Jesus reading that God had anointed him to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. And so our ministries are ignited with soul winning and preaching the word of God. You say, I want to see things get back to going again after COVID, get people back in. I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's a fire of God under us to stir us up about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we're so worried about talking about COVID and all these different government shutdowns and everything else. Why don't we talk about Jesus Christ? That's what they need to hear. That's the only thing that will make a difference in their life is Jesus Christ. And God can ignite a fire in the ministry, the fire in the heart of an individual, if we'll preach the gospel. Notice also in Luke chapter 10, in verse 1, this anointing of preaching extended to the disciples. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And so it was extended to the disciples. So it's not just Jesus preaching the gospel, but it's the disciples that he called, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, that are preaching the gospel. And yet there's even 70 more that he called and ordained and sent out to preach the gospel. So this matter of the anointing of preaching goes from one person to the next person to the next person to the next person. You get saved and you trust Christ as your Savior, you have a message to share. And God has anointed you to proclaim that truth. Notice also that it is ordained of God. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And he said this, and have ordained you. This is John chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me. We're not the ones who make that decision. Christ is the one who has the authority, and he is the one that makes the choice. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I just see the ordination of God upon us, the anointing of God on us to share our faith with others. And when we do that, that he'll literally tell us, he told us that he would answer our prayers and he would respond to us. And so ordained of God. But it's also empowered by the Holy Spirit. We know Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So this matter of the anointing of the preaching that was practiced by John the Baptist ignited the ministry of Jesus Christ. It was extended to the disciples. It was ordained of God, and it is empowered by the Spirit of God. It's not our strength and our ability to try to convince people to be saved. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon us as we preach the Word of God. So understand this morning, the preaching of the Word of God is something that is anointed by God. It's anointed preaching. When we say what God wants us to say, it's anointed of God. It's not a man's conversation. It's not a man's opinion. I found this over the years. People really do not care what my opinion is about things. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. They do care, and they are concerned about what God has to say about things. And they certainly aren't concerned about what your opinion is. Everybody thinks they have the right to give their opinion. And no, you have a right to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the anointing of preaching. I see the responding to preaching in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm just kind of starting over a new run here. In Matthew chapter 12, the responding of preaching. People often say, well, people won't respond to preaching. Yes, they will. They will respond if you'll just talk to them. I did a lesson years ago on how to be an effective soul winner, and one of the points was this: open up your mouth and speak up. Because you can't be an effective soul winner. You can't be effective in preaching the Word of God if you don't open your mouth and say something. And so Matthew chapter 12 in verse 41, we see that Nineveh responded. As much as Jonah despised the Ninevites, as much as he rebelled against God, that he literally gets swallowed up by a whale, as much as his heart was not in preaching to the Ninevites, God showed up, and when the word was preached, they responded. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah's, and behold, a greater than Jonah's is here. And so Jesus Christ is greater than Jonah. Jonah was a type of Christ in that he was in the belly of the whale 3 days, and we see Jesus Christ was in the grave 3 days and arose again. But that tells us that, wait a minute, if a backslidden preacher and Christian with a bad attitude, a believer that's on the run away from God, can bring revival in a wicked city like Nineveh, then bless God, God can bring revival in our communities if we'll just speak up and tell them what God has told us to say. And so Nineveh responded. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 8, the Jews responded. And oftentimes we say, and I've caught myself saying that, you know, in the area where we live, the, you know, strong Jewish community just north of here, and all this, that, and the other, and we have a tendency to say, well, they're just, man, they're really conservative. I mean, they're not going to get saved. What do you mean they're not going to get saved? Jews got saved back in the days of the apostles. Jews got saved under the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jews have been saved throughout the centuries. What makes us think they can't get saved in 2021? Amen. Somebody needs to tell them about who Jesus Christ is. He's their Savior. He came to his own people and they received him not. So why can't we proclaim who Jesus Christ is? Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in verse 8, as he was preaching, the Spirit of God came down upon him. People were filled with the Spirit of God and they spoke in tongues. And the response of the people was, "How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Notice it was not a gibberish. Notice it was not some mumbo jumbo that nobody can understand. When he preached, there were 19 different language people present who every one of them understood exactly what he was saying in their own language. And as a result of that, notice down in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 14, as you continue on through his preaching. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And he goes on and he preaches Christ. And then when you get down to verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That was Jews responding to the preaching of the word of God. And I just know this, that if the Ninevites could respond, the Jews could respond. Certainly in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 and 6, the Samaritans responded. We like to kind of try to identify certain groups of people as people that who we want to go talk to. No, we need to talk to everybody. Everyone will respond. Acts chapter 8 and verse 8, notice it says this, "And there was a great joy in that city." Let's see here. Chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. It said, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." And verse 8, it says, "And there was great joy in that city." We can bring joy back to the streets of America by preaching Christ. And, we have such a hateful society and aggressive society, angry society, and what we need is Jesus Christ to restore joy in the hearts of people again. Now, how's that going to take place? Realizing that people will respond to the preaching of the gospel. We just need to preach the gospel. Notice not only did Samaria respond, but the Ethiopian eunuch responded in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, 'Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So we have a Nineveh responding, Jews responding, Samaritans responding, Ethiopians responding. In Acts chapter 10, we have a Gentile, Cornelius, responding to the preaching of the word of God. Peter, a Jew, goes into the house of a Gentile and preaches unto them Jesus Christ, and they believe and are baptized, and so they responded, a Gentile response. What I'm saying, I'm just trying to build the defense here. And I could go on and on and on all morning of peoples who have responded to the preaching of the word of God. People will respond if we'll just preach, if we'll just tell them who Jesus Christ is. And you say, "Well, I've talked to some and they just won't get saved." You're right. Not everybody's going to get saved. That's why Jesus gave the parable of the sower. Not everybody's going to get saved. Now, the Apostle Paul said, "To the weak became I as weak that I may gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I may by all means save some." Amen. You're not going to save everyone, but that one is ready and needs to hear and wants to hear. They'll never hear if you don't speak up and tell them. So we see the anointing of preaching, we see the responding to preaching, and then we see the endorsing of preaching. And the endorsing of preaching is just simply this. It is power-packed preaching. When you surrender your heart to the Lord and you cry out to God for the fullness of His Spirit, He'll give you the Holy Spirit to be able to change people's lives. And 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish as foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And people say, well, that preaching, that doesn't do anything. People's lives aren't going to change. Well, you can argue with me all you want, but I know what my life was before I got saved. And I'll tell you, I was out visiting yesterday, and I was talking to a fella, and I just told him we were talking about salvation and all this, that, and the other. And I said, people can say a lot of things, but I can tell you one thing right now. There is no way that you can get me to admit that the power of God can't save a soul because God delivered my soul. Amen. And we need to realize the endorsing of preaching is God's power that gives you the ability to take the wise and make them feel foolish so that they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. Then I thought of this. The endorsing of preaching is not only power-packed preaching, but it's a testimony-backed preaching. Paul says, I buffet my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should also be a castaway. Paul understood the necessity of having a testimony that would impact other people. People walk around, they live ungodly, unholy lives, and they wonder why they can't lead anybody to Christ. You don't have a testimony. That's what the problem is. You don't have a testimony. It shows forth the praises of God. Who would want to trust Christ as their Savior when you're in bondage to alcohol, when you're in bondage to drugs, when you're in bondage to sin, when you're in bondage to worldliness? You have nothing to offer somebody that is already in bondage to those things. And so we have a power-packed preaching with a testimony-backed preaching. Then we see a gospel-filled preaching. You know, in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reminded the Galatians that they were not to preach or to receive any preaching of any other gospel than the gospel that had already been preached. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven, so these people can say they have their dreams and they went to heaven and an angel talked to them and all this, that, and the other, you can keep that foolishness. I'm going to hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The Apostle Paul outlined the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If anybody teaches anything else than that, it is a false gospel, and they'll be accursed by God. So it's a gospel-filled preaching. I always try, every message I preach, I try to work in the gospel in some way. Because of the fact the gospel is what changes people's lives. The gospel is what when I talk to people, I try to work it around to get the gospel in there. Amen. We can talk to them about all kinds of things, and people do want to talk about all kinds of things, but you need to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, then I see our preaching is eternity-secured preaching. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 25, eternity secured. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so when we preach the gospel, we tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about something they can lose. We're not talking about something that they can gain and then have to walk away from. We're talking about a gospel that is an everlasting gospel. We're talking about a message that secures their soul throughout eternity. We're not talking about just something that feels good now and you can forget about it later. We're talking about something that impacts your life for all of eternity. The preaching of the Word of God. Understanding the preaching. There's the anointing of preaching. It is God who anoints us, gives us that authority to preach and proclaim the good news. There's the responding to preaching. Stop being hesitant to share your faith in Christ with others because you think they won't get saved. And I'll tell you, I've often said I've led more people to the Lord by mistake than I ever did by purpose. Because I've been in restaurants, I've been in different situations where somebody sits down next to me or whatever, and I don't want to talk to them. I'm not really too sociable. And I don't really care to talk to people I don't know. And God will put them there, and then I got to talk to them. And next thing you know, we're talking about the gospel. And next thing you know, they're getting saved. And there's people I've led to the Lord all across this country that I've never saw after I led them to the Lord. It's going to be a great day when I get to heaven, be able to see them then. And so responding to preaching, people will respond if you'll just tell them. And then the endorsing of preaching, it is God who gives us the ability. He's the one who speaks through us. He is the one that opens up the doors. He's the one that tenders the heart. And I remember years ago, I was preaching a message to Christians, and it was on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I've never forgot that message. I was preaching on the fullness of the Spirit of God on Christians, and the message was completely 100% on the Christian and how they live a life filled with the Spirit of God. And just before I got done preaching that message, before I gave the invitation, I said, "And Jesus Christ died for your sins. And if you can believe on Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you, he'll do that. And as we sing our invitation song, why don't you come forward and we'll show you how to believe and be saved tonight." And I thought nobody's going. And it was a Sunday night service. It wasn't Sunday morning service. And I remember, and I said, when I prayed, I was thinking, well, nobody's coming forward to get saved. And I'll never forget, it was a woman sitting right back where Dave was sitting, right there. And she got up out of her seat and came forward. And I went down and I said, I asked her what was going on. She said, "I need to be saved." He said, "How can that take place?" Because it is God that empowers the preaching. And you can sit there here. I'm sitting up here almost like I'm backslidden. I must have been backslidden, thinking nobody's going to come forward to get saved. And God, what he did, he just showed me, he said, "I can save who I want when I feel like doing it, no matter what you're preaching on." And she came forward and got saved. Listen, don't allow the world, the devil, the flesh to rob you of the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, because you don't know what God's doing in the heart of that person. And if God is prodding you to talk to that person, then you have a message to preach that'll change that person's life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. I pray, Lord, it might be somebody watching live stream this morning that's not sure they're saved. We have a message that's good news. It's in reference to the kingdom of God, and they can become a part of that, become a part of the family of God, the children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. There may be someone right here in this building right now, this very moment, that is lost. They know they're lost. The Spirit of God is impressing upon their heart that they're lost, and they need to come forward and get saved. We have a message of good news, of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness that we can experience if we'll just respond to Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray in this invitation you would impress upon people's hearts, whether they're saved or not. You would impress upon each of our hearts the necessity to be preachers of the Word of God, whether it's in the Sunday school class, whether it's in the pulpit in the church, or whether it's standing on the street corner. God, we have good news to share. So help us to understand preaching. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay.